Had enough fire. Score remains 61-50. 10:04 remaining. Now here comes the sub. Calvin Mullins comes in, and Mullins has two fouls, but it's not, I don't think, as much of a threat as Bratz. Second free throw's good for Czech. So 5 points for the senior guard. It's a 10-point game with 10:01 and counting as Dalton brings the ball up. Into the corner. Oh, beautiful play, but he misses the wide open layup. Oh, great rebound by Robinson, falling to the ground. Gives it over to Czech. Czech in the fast break. And Dalton gets called for the foul. Another great job by Ethan Czech, creating more foul trouble for the Cardinals. That's foul number three for Mr. J. Dalton. 9:46 remaining, so not too bad of a situation for Fondi, unless we can get him back in foul trouble again. First free throw by Czech. And it's good. 6 points for Czech. 61-52. Second free throw. Off the back. Oh, and a violation will be called. Looks like it's against Tadioka for leaving too early in the free throw. So some missed free throws, costly, or a situation like that, a violation. 61-52 in favor of Fondi as Dalton dribbles up, guarded by Czech. And Czech's due for drawing a charge here. Over to Mullins. Mullins guarded by Czech again. A matchup zone defense, it looks like we're playing here. As Riker Johnson now driving, guarded by Tadioka. He's coming out of the way. A beautiful dish to Mullins, but nowhere to go. And he gets called for the travel. Great defense there by Cook and Stout on the driving Mullins. Inbounded by Tadioka to Czech. 61-52. 9:21 and counting in favor of Fondi. Czech going to the left wing. Now dribbling more to the middle. Gives it to Cook. Cook's going to drive past Johnson. Cook with the layup. And he falls. Oh! A terrible charging call. The guy was under the net. That shouldn't even count. Does the basket... The basket should count, but it doesn't. That's three on Cook and a terrible call by the officiating. That was a Johnny come lately under the basket. I don't know who drew the foul. I couldn't see it in time. So now Mullins has it. Now Riker Johnson has it in the corner, moving to the left wing. Gives it over to Dalton here on the left wing as well. Guarded by Tadioka this time. Kicks it back to Johnson into the wing to Barfneck. Barfneck to Blank. Back to Dalton here in the left backcourt. Guarded by Tadioka. Now guarded by Cook. Into Blank. Blank goes around. He's going to, nope, tries to go on baseline. Spinning around now. He's in the paint here. Kicks it all the way out to Johnson. Johnson fakes a three, but gets nailed with the travel. So the score remains 61-52 after all of that. Time remaining is 8:37. I am still very upset about that charging call against Cook. He made a beautiful drive to the layup. Nobody around. And at the very last second, a poser underneath the net draws the charge. So check driving. Long shot. And that's good. Cookie! So it's 61-54. It's a 7-point game with 8:11 and counting. Picks over to Porter to Mullins for a long three. That goes off. Rebounded by Tack. Outlet to Cook. Here comes the black shirts in transition. Cook over to Tadioka. Tadioka back to Cook now in the left backcourt, deep backcourt. Cookie calling plays. I think he's calling for a clear out here. Robinson setting a pick on the right. Cook now in the middle, over to Robinson in the left wing. Robinson's going to drive, pull up. He gets fouled. He does get fouled. It's going to be a shooting foul. I think it's against Barfneck. No, Blank gets called with his second. So Robinson back at the line for two. He's made four free throws tonight so far. First one's good. It's now a 6-point game. Time remaining 7:46 in the second half. So great defense and resilience by the Blackshirts have put them at this point in striking distance. The thing to be careful about is that 3-point shooting capability that Fondi's known for. Second one, and that rolls in for Robbie. So it's a 5-point game, 7:46. Blackshirt showing some pressure in the backcourt. Cook's going to come in and guard Zimmerman. Zimmerman over to Dalton. Dalton going against Scheck. Dishes it out to Barfnick. Over to Zimmerman, top of the key. Now Mullins has it guarded by Stout. Mullins into Riker Johnson, driving in attack. He fakes, pulls up a beautiful little bunny by Riker Johnson, putting a great move on Teddy Oka. So it's a 7-point lead, 7:20 and counting. Bondi at the top, 63-56. Cook's got the ball. Coach Richter calling a play. Stout comes to the pick. Robinson on a long drive, in and out. Rebounded by Cook, into Robinson now. Robinson pulls up, long jumper. Oh, and that's off. Rebounded by Cook. Cook, foul. Oh, it doesn't fall. But he gets the foul. That could be Dalton. Let's see. No, Zimmerman gets his fourth already. Zimmerman had no fouls coming into the second half. Now he's got four. 7 minutes remaining. Tyron Cook shooting. First one. Yes. So it's 6-point game now, 63-57. 7 minutes exactly remaining. Some subs come in. Karinko comes in for Stout. Cook dribbles. Next free throw, and that's falls out. Rebounded by Barfnick. Dribbling up slowly, guarded by Robinson. Out across the court. Goes around a big Bratz pick. Oh, an errant pass, but luckily Stryker's there for Fondi to pick it up. Bratz going to drive in Karinko. He's going to pull up. And he gets the layup and the foul on Karinko. That was all power there by the bigger Will Bratz, 6'6", against the 6'3", Karinko. And I'm guessing Bratz has a good 25 pounds on him. So 7 points for Bratz, including a three-pointer. Kringle gets his first foul. And the end one is good for Bratz. So it's a 9-point lead for Fondi, 66-57. 6:42 is your time. Jack will dribble it up, going over to the left side. Beck gives to Cook now. Cook at the top of the key. Guarded by Johnson. Cook drives. Spins. Shots. In and out. Kicking the rebound, but Dalton does, unfortunately, for Fondi. There was a swarm of black shirts in for that, but it went off of some fingertips. So Dalton guarded by Cook here. Very important stop here. Double cover now. Oops. Kringle slides down. Johnson has it guarded by Teddy Oka. Dalton has it back with Cook guarding him. Dalton going to drive. Stryker has it. All the way over to Barfnick. Barfnick pulls up. He goes underneath. And a long pass almost stolen by Cook. Cook falls down. Dalton looking around. He's got Barfnick for a three in the corner. It's good for Barfnick. Wow. And another timeout called by the Blackshirts. As the lead goes back to 12 for Fondi, 69-57. 5:51 is your time remaining. We're going to take a quick break here on the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network. Calvin.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country, and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society.
Hey, welcome back to Waukesha South. The Blackshirts inbound after a timeout. After Fondi went back up to a 12-point lead when trailing by five. So now Robinson has the ball in the right backcourt into Cook. Tough pass, but Cook recovers. Cook guarded by Dalton in the left backcourt. Robinson coming to set a pick. Gives it to Krinkle in the corner. Krinkle's going to drive on Bratz. Back to Robinson for a long three. In and out. And over the back call is being called here. I don't understand that. because he went over two of his own teammates to get it. That's going to go against Fondi. Dreyer gets his second foul, a push, they're calling it. So it's the 1-1 now. Daddyoka will shoot for the black shirts. He was the offended party. Daddyoka has a three today. These are his first free throws of the game. First one. That's it. Nice little switch there by the Classic 8 honorable mention quarterback heading to St. Thomas next year with teammate CJ Johnson, who's killing it in wrestling. Second free throw from Daddyoka. That's good, too. So five for Daddyoka. 10-point lead for Fondi. Check there, applying pressure in the inbound to Dalton. Dalton looks at a pick from Bratz. Krinkle there to cover. And Krinkle gets called with the body. Not much contact there, but no quarter for the referees. That's only two on Krinkle, but five team fouls in the black shirts, which I think they'll need if they can get this game closer. They'll need some more fouls. So check now. Dalton goes past check, goes all the way and gets a land and the foul. And it's Krinkle again with the call, I believe. Dalton made it look so easy getting past check and then around. Yep, Krinkle gets that three now on the senior. Krinkle has 5 points as well. Dalton back at the free throw line. And it's good. So in the end, one there for Dalton as well. So 72-59, 5 minutes and counting. Cook, top of the key. Cook's going to drive. Kicks over to Krinkle. Krinkle for a jumper. Nope, that's off the rim. Rebounded by Dalton again. And here comes Dalton in transition. Trouble with the ball there, but recovers. He's now at the middle of the court, backcourt. Kicks it over to Barfnick on the left, backcourt. Barfnick dribbling now, double teamed. Over to Schreider. Heavily covered by Cook. Schreider looking for someone. He finds Barfnick there in the far right wing. Barfnick driving on Robinson. Loses control of the ball, but picked up by Riker Johnson, top of the key. Over to Dalton now, back left court. Dalton now getting more to the middle here, guarded by Check. Dalton trouble with the ball. Check's going to go in there and draw the held ball. So a great little scrum, great effort by Check taking advantage. It'll stay with Fondi, but we get next. 4:19 is your time remaining, so Fondi in no hurry to score here with a 13-point lead. Not a bad strategy considering you've got Cook and Robinson with three fouls. Barfnick has the ball, guarded deep in the backcourt by Robinson. He drives on Robinson all the way into the corner to Riker Johnson. Johnson guarded by Daddyoka. He's going to drive, kicks it over to Will Bratz. Going to hang out of the ball. He had a wide open three, but Riker Johnson now is in the wing. So Fondi very much in the Carolina offense here, just working the clock. Blackshirts are going to start needing to commit fouls. They might even put other players to do it if they're going to stop this clock and get the ball back. Bratz now kicks it all the way back out to Johnson. So great discipline by Fondi with their Carolina offense here. And a long drive, and Dalton again, unstoppable. And a timeout is called by Fondi after the timeout. I don't know you could do that if you didn't have possession of the ball. I think Fondi's looking to make wholesale substitutions here with the 15-point lead. 74-59, 3:36. And we're going to take a quick break here, too, on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network. Calvin.
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news, local sports, local people, local music and culture. This Week in Waukesha, every Saturday, 8 a.m., here on Walk Radio, 540 a.m., 101 FM. The show.
Hey, welcome back to Waukesha South, and you just heard the promo for my show. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8 if you haven't for the recording of my show this morning with Salt's licensed athletic trainer, Caitlin Weber. She has a lot of great information to share in the aftermath of the DeMar Hamlin incident on Monday Night Football. And a lot of great great opportunity, great information shared about how we're keeping our student athletes and other young people safe, and how we can handle medical emergencies too. So stick around for that at 8. Daniel Robinson has the ball for the Black Shirts in the backcourt. He's driving, gets fouled by Riker Johnson. That's 3 on Johnson. 3:15 is your time remaining. It's a 15-point Fondy advantage. So looks like Robinson and Stout are going to come back in. And I think Ricker's going to use them to foul since they're low on fouls. First shot. Robinson, yes. So it's 74-60, 3:15 remaining. Points for Robinson. Let's make it 20. So 13-point lead, 3:15 remaining. Robinson putting some pressure on Dalton. Stout and Moreau's in. Tadioka sits along. Dalton driving again, kicks it out to Stryker in the corner. Stryker gets called for the travel. Didn't really see it there, but we'll take the gift. And now Check's going to come back in with the Black Shirts on offense. He'll check in for Moreau's. Give him a little more experienced offense there. Although Moreau's a very prolific scorer throughout his career in the youth and JV2 and JV1 levels. Robinson's got the ball now on the left side. Gives it over to Cook. Cook driving. Cook with a beautiful layup. Wow, right around the big man. A really pretty play by Cookie. So Johnson has it now, guarded by Stout. The left side gets passed out. Goes by Karinko. Oh, easy layup doesn't fall, thankfully. Robinson gets the outlet, almost trips, but regains balance. He's guarded by Johnson. Robinson's a beautiful move on. And a beautiful bank. Thought he might have drawn a foul there, but Black Shirts will call timeout. It's back to a 9-point game with 2:18 remaining. So let's keep hope alive here. 74-65 in favor of Fondy. So we'll take a quick break, too, to get a little catch our breath. Right, Connor? Calvin?
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions, who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, welcome back to Waukesha South. Teams are still huddling, ready to come out. 74-65 in favor of Fondy. We knew we were going to have a tough team to play. Very prolific team. There is scoring from 6 different players on this Fondy team. And it seems like any one of these guys could kill you from 3. So full court press on the inbound by Mullins. Mullins looks, he gives it to Dalton, the go-to guy, Dalton. Heavy pressure, long pass, he has Mullins. Mullins pulls it out to Barfnick. Barfnick guarded by Kringle. Kringle gets the easy foul to stop the clock. 2:09 remaining, and it's up to the senior, where's he hiding? The junior, Rocky Barfnick. Barfnick has 10 points tonight, including 2 threes. These are his first opportunities from the charity stripe. First one by Barfnick. And it's in. 11 points for Barfnick. And I see, can't get the number, someone coming in. Second free throw for Barfnick. That's off the front of the rim, rebounded by Cook. 10-point lead now, 2:05 and counting. Good opportunity for the Black Shirts here to come with 8 or 7. They'll need to score quickly, though. Cook drives. He's taking it all the way. Cook makes a beautiful layup there. And pressure in the inbound here for the Black Shirts. Stout covering Rocker Johnson. Now Stryker has it. Over to Johnson. This time Barfnick has it. Barfnick calls timeout under heavy pressure. So at 75-67 game, a minute 40 remaining, Fondy calls the timeout this time. Connor, what's your strategy here if you're Coach Richter? I'm imagining you want to foul right away with 1:40 remaining.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Try to see if you can get a three or
exactly
or a two-point playoff or something.
If it's the same situation where Fondy makes one of two here, 76-67, we make a tray here and suddenly it's a six-point game.
Yeah.
Two-score game.
And that puts us a lot closer, so.
Full court press, and I think we just need a foul right away. Keep fouling, and then score right away too. Got to be real efficient. I have no problem with Tyron and Daniel driving to the bucket. It seems like Fondy's laying off with the big lead. They don't need to get the 3-point play. So they'll gladly give up the deuces here. So big press here on the inbound from the half court line. Stryker, the senior, will inbound it. And he gives it to Riker Johnson in the backcourt, guarded by Tadioka. Tadioka now gives it to Strider. Cook guarding. And they call the foul. I think it's against Cook. That'll be four. Yep. It's fourth, Cook. points for Cook this afternoon, but four fouls with 1:24 remaining. So first free throw, and that's good. First Strider having a good all-around game. 10 points, three of those from three-point land. Real solid play. Second one is good too for Strider. So it's a 10-point game, 1:27 and counting. Karinko has it in the corner. Back to Robinson. Blackford's got to score quick here. Oh, pass stolen by Dalton into Karinko. Dalton's just going to sit on this, wait for a foul, and he gets fouled by Check. That'll be three on Check. So Jay Dalton with seven free throws tonight. I think he might have missed one or two. Oh, and he misses the first one. Rebounded by Robinson. Here come the black shirts. 1:11 and counting. Robinson's got to fire this. A long three from Robinson. And it's good. A big tray by Robinson. So it's a 7-point game. 1:05 left. Black shirts call timeout. Twenty-three points for Robinson tonight. So, waiting for this fourth timeout to take place here as I take a quick rest. Blackshirts trailing Fondy 77-70. Come back, not out of the realm of possibilities here, should I say. But Blackshirts will need to act quickly on the inbound, get a turnover, a quick foul, and hope that Fondy doesn't deliver from the line while also coming back and scoring quickly. So ultimately, ideally, we'd want a turnover. I imagine there'll be heavy pressure on Dalton, who's had a great game today. So Robinson will cover Strider on the inbound here, put some pressure on. Blackshirt's got what we know for sure is the full court press. Referee hands the ball to Strider. Inbound, gets to Dalton. Dalton under heavy pressure. Dalton ball gets knocked off of Dalton. But they're calling it, they're calling it off of Waukesha South. South not happy with the call. They thought it might have went off Dalton. So Strider will inbound it in front of the Blackshirt bench. Gets it to Zimmerman, the sophomore. Zimmerman, heavy pressure. Gets it to Strider, and he gets fouled by Check. That'll be four on the senior. 58.8 is your time remaining. Karinko is coming up. We'll see who Check will come in, or who Crinkle will come in for. I imagine he'll might replace one of the guys. Trey Duncan's in the game now. And Strider gets the first. So 3 for 3 from the line tonight. Eli Brotz, number 14, back in the game. Barfnik's going to go out. Blank's back in the game. So Johnson and Barfnik go out. Missed the second free throw. Here comes Robinson. 55 and counting. Gives it to Cook. Cook, heavy pressure. Cook to Morose. Morose is going to drive. Oh, ball almost stolen. Cook's got it out. Cook's going to drive. Hits Morose. Morose to Karenko. Back to Robinson. A lot of time being wasted here. Robinson fakes a long three. Oh, and it's off. Rebounded by Dalton. 36 seconds left. And Morose delivers a quick foul to Blank. Morose draws it, gets his third foul here. Colton Blank, his first trip to the line. 8 points tonight, including 6 on three-pointers. 32.8 is your time remaining in the second half. Oh, in and out for the first one. It's a two-shot free throw, so a big miss for Blank. 8-point game here, 32.8. Second free throw for Blank, and that one's good. So Cook letting the ball roll in the inbound, trying to save time. Cook comes all the way down. Oh, layup gets blocked by Dalton. Cook again, Chrysler again. This time he gets fouled, and that's going to be Riker Johnson. That'll be his fourth. Cook would not be denied. 79-70, 25.3 seconds left. And surprised that the black shirts aren't lining up threes here. First free throw from Cook. And it's good. Cook's made 7 free throws tonight. As big Will Bratz comes in, giving younger brother Eli, the sophomore, a rest. Cook makes the second one. So 7-point game, 24 seconds left. Dalton dribbles past everybody, finally gets fouled by Morose. That's Morose's fourth. So 21.2 seconds left and a 7-point lead. And with Dalton at the line here, barring a Fondi collapse, complete collapse, it looks like this one will end up in the win column for the Cardinals, the visiting Cardinals. Some good takeaways for the black shirts here and good practice against a prolific 3-point shooting team. So the first one's good for Dalton. We're running out of 1-point spaces on the stat sheet. We'll have to make our own soon. 80-72, 21.2. And the second one from Dalton. Oh, that goes out. Oh, but Cook can't get the rebound. He jumped one way, the ball went the other, and it went off his fingertips. So Bondi gets the possession on the missed free throw. Trey Duncan's going to come in for Karenko to play some defense. Richter calls the defense here. Zimmerman's going to inbound it. Oh, shot by Blank is blocked on the inbound, but Dalton has it and gets fouled by Check, who then fouls out. So Dalton will go back to the line. I don't know what they're calling here. I guess it's a quick timeout. 18 seconds is your time remaining. Check just fouled out. Had 6 points today. Another good effort from our senior center. Plays a lot of point guard. And a lot of wing. So some substitutions here. Barfneck and Zimmerman will go out. Riker, Johnson, and the younger Bratz, Eli Bratz, coming in for Fondi, all sitting in the backcourt. Only one player underneath the basket. First free throw is good by Dalton. Second free throw from Dalton. And that one's good, too. 82-72, 18 seconds left. Robinson gets the inbound from Cook. Robinson needs to put up a long three here. There's Cook. Cook's going to do it. No, Cook's going to drive. Cook gets easy layup. And Coach Richter calls a timeout. With 7.9 seconds left, 84-72 in favor of Fondi. We'll take a quick break here, too, on the Blackshirt Radio Network. Calvin.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back to Waukesha South High School. The teams are still huddling, but I wanted to remind everybody that if you didn't catch my show this morning, This Week in Waukesha with Caitlin Weber, licensed athletic trainer for Waukesha South High School from Children's Wisconsin, you can check out the recording, the rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. And I highly encourage you. It's good that we get this dialogue going about giving us some assurance on how our student athletes are getting the best possible medical care on the field of play, especially in emergency situations. We're all aware now of the very serious event involving a cardiac arrest from an NFL football player, DeMar Hamlin of Buffalo. And so anyway, the inbound comes all the way to Dalton, all the way down. Dalton gets fouled by Karinko. That'll be four, and Karinko, 5.7 seconds is your time remaining. So Dalton will return to the line, where he's been very familiar and very comfortable. Tadioka will now come in, offer some offense to the Blackshirts here. So, hey, also I want to remind everybody, we're back on against another tough non-conference rival this Tuesday. Coverage begins at 6:30 against Sussex Hamilton. First free throw in and out for Dalton. So there won't be a game next Friday, and Friday is the opening night for the Waukesha Winter Jamboree, Wisconsin's premier winter festival. So be sure to check that out. Saturday morning on This Week in Waukesha, I'll have Joanna Adamiki from Parks and Rec, special events coordinator, talk about Jamboree. So as Daniel Robinson makes a final basket, and the score will end, the game will end with the score, Fond du Lac 83 and your Blackshirts 76. Another good game against a very tough non-conference opponent. We'll give you a quick rundown here of the game with our point totals. Connor, any comments from you, any analysis on Blackshirt play tonight?
Well, they played a good game. I think it's a consequence of the issues in which we brought up before the game, you know, just point distribution and going deeper into their lineup. I think Daniel, they played fantastic. Honestly, I think it's just a testament to how good the program at Fond du Lac is and how well-rounded their team is.
Yeah.
There's not much to say. I think the Blackshirts fought a really hard game. And, you know, we're just going to have to see what we can do next time.
Yeah, good point. It's really a difference of Fondi having a little more depth in their lineup, especially on the scoring side. Everyone on that team can shoot threes. And so some great, and they went deep into the bench too, so players were well rested. Tyron Cook had 30 points tonight, and Daniel Robinson had 26. So you're right, they both played, gave an excellent game on offense, solid defense. Jack Tadioka had 5, including a 3. Ethan Check had 6. Tommy Karinko had 5, including 1 3, 2 free throws. So we didn't see any scoring from Evan Stout tonight. He had 6 on Thursday, and Charlie Morros was also scoreless. And, you know, those are two players that are capable of giving us 4 or 6 points, maybe more. And again, these are juniors getting their sea legs. So hopefully we'll get to see some more productivity out of them. And again, it's a game that ends 6-7 point deficit. A team that, again, pretty beatable if, or I shouldn't say that's demeaning, but we're more competitive if we can get one or two of those guys to really step up and give us some points and create some more havoc. So, and Fond du Lac, this Jay Dalton lived up to his billing with 3 threes, 5 2-pointers, probably 10. You know, again, a really high double-digit game for the senior star there. And I'm counting 3, 4, 6 players that scored for this team tonight in a winning effort. 3 of them in double digits too. So well-played game by Fond du Lac. And so some opportunities, some things to work on for Tuesday as they face a tough Sussex Hamilton team. So again, we start coverage at 6:30. Thank you, Connor, for your support. Thank you, Calvin, in the studio. This is Downtown Donnie Brown checking out again. Catch the rebroadcast of This Week in Waukesha with Caitlin Weber, certified athletic trainer for South, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then we'll see you this Tuesday at 6:30 here on the Shaw. Thanks again for joining us today. Enjoy this beautiful Saturday while the sun is still out. And please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Bye for now and see ya. Thanks, Calvin.
Thank you, Don. See you on Tuesday.
We'll see you Tuesday. All right. Godspeed. See ya.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents.
You're in 20 count. That they got you really constancy on this with retiring. It's, you know, the balance of the court will be determined by the voters in this spring election. So like you mentioned, that primary coming up February 21st and April 4th is when we have a chance to restore democracy in this state, because electing a liberal justice to that court could open up challenges to the state's ridiculously unfair gerrymandered maps. And those gerrymandered maps are Robin Voss and the legislative Republicans' skeleton key to holding power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections they lose. So it's you really cannot overstate the importance of this race. And like I said, it's just starting to heat up now.
Yeah, it's to believe that the primary is just over 6 weeks away is a little upsetting almost, but also it's something that's happening. So we got to prepare for it.
There is some election fatigue there. That's for sure. I think we're all a little bit sick of having to go to the polls to vote for our basic rights, vote for basic democracy in our state. But this is kind of the final boss, right? This is
a big one. Yes,
this is a big one. And so it's going to be really important for people to show up and go to the polls and vote in those elections.
Yeah, and I have a feeling the election fatigue is not going anywhere, because even with this election wrapping up in April, there's going to be 2024 candidates that are going to start announcing, and it's just going to be like, okay, there's no off ramp for this ride. It just keeps going. It's the carousel that just keeps going and going and going.
No doubt. And there's going to be extra focus in Milwaukee on that Republican presidential primary because of the convention here in 2024. So, you know, just one circus after the next.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, for listeners that are just finding out about the work that you're doing at the Recombobulation Area, can you let them know how can they find out to see pieces like 12 Months to Save Democracy in Wisconsin and all the other excellent work that you're putting out?
Yeah, so I published the Recombobulation Area on Substack. You can subscribe for free, and you can become a paid subscriber to help fund the independent journalism that we do covering Milwaukee and Wisconsin. We've got a lot in store for this year, so we're excited. We're a growing publication. The more subscribers that we get, the more we're going to be able to grow. Earlier this week, I was encouraging people to become free subscribers. I said, you know, if you want to be a paid subscriber, wait till tomorrow. I'm kidding, of course. You can pay it anytime. we've got a lot of new subscribers this year. We got a lot going on. We're got a lot that we're going to be able to cover. And last year we started the year covering the race for mayor in Milwaukee and ended it covering the midterms. Lots of election coverage last year. So it's and this year, now that we're, you know, maybe getting into a couple more policy fights, maybe a little bit more in-depth looks at, things like the state budget. Be sure to subscribe to get all that information in your inbox.
Yeah, and one of those policy fights that will probably lead to some interesting bedfellows is what's going to happen with the I-94 highway expansion. I know towards the end of the year, there was some public hearings by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Can you provide any update with what's going on with that project and kind of where the fix it six or expand to eight lanes for I-94 from the freeway interchange? What's the status of that project?
Yeah, so considering how divided our state government is, it's always interesting to see which issues will reunite the parties. And in this particular case, in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee, we have Governor Evers and the Republicans in the legislature and in the business community here in Milwaukee on the same page, wanting to expand I-94, the east-west corridor of I-94, kind of in between the Zoo Interchange and the Marquette Interchange, wanting to expand that from six to eight lanes. Now, right after the election, Governor Evers' administration and the WISDOT released their preferred alternative, which would be, as everyone had expected, wanting to expand the highway to eight lanes. And which kind of flies against a lot of the local groups, liberal groups, faith groups, racial justice groups, environmental groups, urbanist groups in Milwaukee that have been very much against this project as an expansion. You know, everybody's very much for a modernization of this highway, you know, addressing some of the safety concerns like the left-hand exits. But, you know, expanding a highway in the middle of the most what many consider to be the most segregated metropolitan area in the country, maybe not the best move for the city. So there were some public hearings held in December to discuss this. A lot of people voiced their opposition. There were certainly more people against the expansion than for it who were there. But the expected outcome in this project has been the expected outcome throughout, and that has been that it would expand to eight lanes. I think there were some important wins for the people who are against highway expansion throughout this. The Evers administration, to their credit, has been receptive to some of the changes to this project, you know, kind of right-sizing the stadium interchange, undergoing a study to take a look at reimagining the future of the stadium freeway, Highway 175, that goes through some of the neighborhoods just to the north of the freeway there. So I think there were some important battles won there for those of us who are against expanding the highway. But the expected outcome is still the expected outcome, and that will be expanding the highway to eight lanes. So that will be a big part of, you know, physically what we're seeing from the Evers administration in the city of Milwaukee and in Milwaukee County for his next term.
Yeah, it's going to be a defining project for a second Evers term. So I'm hopeful that there's still the possibility that the because I would support the fix at six aspect of the project rather than expanding that as well. So I'm holding out hope, but it does seem that is the case. It's going to move forward to that 8-lane expansion. A couple of other things that we got a few minutes here. So before we dive into the next big political one, then let's have a little fun with a potential heart attack event last night. With the Milwaukee Bucks for the second time in as many weeks, almost like squandering a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and going to overtime against who were they even playing last night? Now I can't even remember.
Toronto.
Yeah, they were in Toronto.
Toronto, who is not a playoff team, and just as they did a couple weeks ago against the Bulls, who were barely a playoff team, blowing a lead in a very winnable road game. Man, that turned from a nice, easy dog days of the season blowout to one where I was pacing around my living room and shouting at the refs.
Rightfully so on that Bobby Portis.
Went from a 21-point lead with about 3.5 minutes to go to having to go to overtime. That was no fun.
No, it was not a lot of fun. I was expecting a coast to a victory as well. I don't care if they win by 8 or if they win by 20. I just want them to win with a nice, comfortable lead, I guess. And it seemed like all signs were pointing towards it. And then it felt very much like that Chicago game last 10 days ago, I believe, whenever the Chicago game happened, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, no. Oh, no, this is... Oh, we're going to overtime. Okay, now I'm sitting on pins and needles hoping for a victory. But Giannis just seems to find a way. Just playing a lot of bully ball, being able to, without Drew Holiday, which I don't know what is afflicting him, this non-COVID illness that he continues to be out with, is very unfortunate. And Chris Middleton hasn't joined him on the court either in some time now. So the big three not there, but Giannis finding a way to get it done.
Yeah, he said, what was it, 2 40-point games back-to-back, and then a 55-point game, and then last night a 30-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist triple-double. Yeah, he's just absolutely incredible, willing this team to victory without, you know, his two top running mates with Middleton and Holiday. Holiday, I mean, he's had this non-COVID illness for
two weeks.
Amount of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know he's a parent of young kids, as am I, so I'm getting all kinds of non-COVID illnesses running through my house as well. But, man, this really seems to be a problem for him lately. Hopefully he'll get back to health soon.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be able to shake the illness, get back on the court, and join Giannis so that he doesn't have to put the entire team on his back every single night. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. We're going to continue the conversation. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. You're listening across Civic Media. We'll be right back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once. Once
in Wisconsin. He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate. He literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, what?
Bobby! He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away! I can smell the desperation, Mommy!
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 33. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 22. Cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. A blend of clouds and sun Monday. Clouds on the increase by Tuesday. Highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the conversation, share a tangent, or just follow us online, you can at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You can follow Civic Media there as well, at Civic Media US. Joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, probably my favorite Twitter personality. I won't deny, Dan. I think the work and content that you put out on the space that is being overrun in a lot of ways in recent weeks.
I think you gotta find better people to follow if I'm the best one on your list.
I'm just a big fan. I'm a big fan, and I always appreciate when you got some time to take out of your afternoon and join me here on the airwaves. One of the things keeping an eye on Twitter is the speakership race for the House of Representatives. It is now in the ninth ballot, and it looks like already six votes for other Republicans other than Kevin McCarthy. So Kevin McCarthy is going to fail to achieve the 218 votes, it looks like, in the ninth attempt to be nominated and confirmed as the Speaker of the House of Representatives. So seems like number nine is not going to be the magic number for McCarthy. But here in Wisconsin, we did have the votes for the majorities when it comes to our state legislature. And I'll be honest, I don't watch the speeches. I've been trying to juggle as many things as I can, and the speeches were not on that list this week. But Robin Voss, reelected, had some defectors when it came to, he did not get the perfect 65 votes, I believe.
It was not 64 for 64.
It was not 64 for 64. Republicans.
He won 60 votes. Okay. So, you know, with his gerrymandered majority, he was able to sail to another term as speaker. Mm-hmm. Didn't get all four. You know, there's some like Janelle Branchon who voted against him.
Not shocked there. Not shocked one bit.
Doesn't seem like they're going to be on the same page anytime soon. But yeah, you might have a life and be able to do things other than watch inauguration speeches, but that's why I'm here to recombobulate. So I took the time not only to watch, you know, all of the speeches with Governor Evers and Josh Call and on down the line with the all the pomp and circumstance and totally legitimate pledges of bipartisanship that we hear on inauguration day, but I also took the time to watch Robin Voss's speech as well. You know, it's always very funny to hear Robin Voss talk about things like compromise, talk about things like bipartisanship, talking about working together to solve problems, and all the things that he doesn't do any of in any of the other time. So he has these quotes like, "Let's reset and begin anew," and sure. Sure, Robin. We're going to reset and begin anew. But you know, one of the things that he mentioned throughout that speech, you know, there's been all this talk from Republicans about a potential about tax cuts. You know, they're ringing their one bell of their only policy idea, which is to cut taxes. And you know, they're talking about a flat tax, which, you know, during the campaign they said they were not campaigning on. Immediately after that campaign ended, All of a sudden they're trying to do a flat tax.
Yeah, Tim Michaels was like, wait, you can't tie that to me, even though it was what he said he'd be open to. And so there were some that were upset that got tied to them. I have a feeling they may have put the cart in front of the horse on that one, because it seems like, yes, that all signs were pointing that Republicans were going to pursue a flat tax. And I'm not going to say that's the deciding factor that led to Tim Michaels losing, because it was pretty big. It was a landslide here in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin landslide of 3.5%. That's right. So one of the things that Robin Voss talked about in his speech was what he characterized as a demographic challenge. So we didn't know net population growth, a state that's aging faster than the national average. Who could it possibly have been faulted for this lack of population growth over the last decade? I don't know who was in charge. We'll really have to go back and take a look at that one. Couldn't have been Robin Voss. But one of the things that he said, he was talking about this flat tax, was, and I'm going to quote here, saying, just to be clear, it's not about rewarding the wealthy, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is his direct quote, saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with rewarding the wealthy. And then he went on this odd little tangent that he has actually brought up a couple different times about retired couples living, 51% of the time in a state like Texas or Tennessee that doesn't have state taxes. And I don't know why this needed to be part of his inauguration speech. Do we need a special session on snowbirds? I'm not really sure why he keeps talking about this. But it is just another emblematic moment of just how out of touch he is, and just, real finger on the pulse of what everyday Wisconsinites are thinking about, where to have their second home, whether it's in Tennessee or Wisconsin. It's just such a bizarre little rant of his.
Well, I hope that, and I'm all for bizarre tangents. Like, I am, Brian and I are the kings of tangents, so we will openly accept tangents here, but maybe it's a tell. Maybe he's thinking about retiring. I don't know. Like, maybe there's a hope that the end of the longest serving speakership in this state assembly maybe upon us.
Breadcrumbs to see where he's leading us to try and give himself a tax break. Wouldn't put it past him.
Would not put it past him. But hey, if your piece outlining the ability to save democracy here in Wisconsin comes to fruition and we see the changes, and that skeleton key is maybe dissolved after later this year, I would not put it beyond him to be a snowbird and fly off to Tennessee, Texas, or Arizona, wherever he sees fit, because the less I have to talk about Robin Voss, the happier a person I will be in 2023, and I can tell you that I might have a new resolution on my hands then.
We're going to throw a party, Luke. We're going to throw a party if he resigns. That's
Who was the representative with him on primary night last August that was popping the bottle of champagne and he was just standing there smiling? That would be us, like, times 150. Like, it would be amazing. But there's a lot of work to be done that would lead to that. So if you want only a few minutes left here, Dan, if listeners want to stay in tune with the work that you're doing here in 2023, let the folks know one more time how they can find you online and where they can subscribe.
Yeah, I'm working on a piece now for some things to look for in state government in 2023. So if you want to get that in your inbox, subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. We're on Substack. And you can also find me on Twitter, a great website that's doing fine, at Dan R. Schaefer, where I occasionally tweet about things other than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, and maybe that's why I like you, you're one of my favorite followers on Twitter as well, because the Bucks content is impeccable as well. It's been an interesting up and down season. They had a really great start. There's a little sickness and needs to get healthy, but I'm excited about this Bucks season regardless, and then you like to share all of the little things that keep me excited about the season.
Well, I appreciate that, Luke. Yeah. I enjoy following you as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this Thursday afternoon, Dan. Tomorrow we will be joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you missed any portion of this show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Make sure that you stay tuned to Civic Media. Until then, talk to you later. See you, Dan.
Oh.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.